Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So our word today, family, comes from John 15, chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Thank you, Eddie. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we can come around your word, Father. We thank you that as we've heard this morning, Lord God, you call us to friendship. You are a God of relationship, Father. And so this morning, as we prepare to hear from you, Lord God, attune our ears and our hearts to hear from you this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak to each of us where we are at in our lives. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for every person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're starting our new series this morning, okay? So, one anothering. Everyone say one anothering. That is good English. It is. Honestly, I'm true. Okay, so one anothering. And so we're going to be looking at the biblical concept of building relationships. Okay, building relationships. And this is based on God's plan that he created us to be in relationship with him. He created us to be in relationship with others around us as well. Okay, and so one anothering is God's solution for the relationship equation. Okay. And it provides us a bit of a framework for building healthy and biblical relationships, okay? Anyone excited about that? Right. Friendships, okay? Friendships. Let me define friendships, okay? Friendships, okay? Nudge your neighbor and say friendships. Okay? So the Bible has many examples of one anothering, okay? One anothering in there, like bearing with one another, okay? In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 13, it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Another one is encourage one another and build one another. And we read this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing," right? And then from our passage today in John 15, 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." These are Jesus' words he's telling us. "Love one another as I have loved you." And so I hope that you see that these instructions are for us. They're not suggestions. Okay, that instructions for us that can help us to build strong relationships with others around us. Okay, so one anothering involves putting others before ourselves, seeking to serve them in love. All right, and so it requires humility, forgiveness, and willingness to listen and learn from others. When we practice one anothering, we become more like Christ. That's our desire, that we become more and more like Christ. Amen? And so when we become more and more like Christ, then we experience the joy of being part of a community that supports and loves one another. And I think that's one of the beauties of being part of a church community as well. When we're part of a church community, we get to be around each other. We get to encourage each other. We get to, you know, cheer each other along. The title of my message this morning is Friends with One Another. friends with one another. And so today we're going to be looking at the biblical model for friendship and see how God may be activating us to be friends with those around us, especially the unchurched and those who are different from us, right? So a question for us is this: what does friendship mean to you? What does friendship mean to you? I'm going to give you 20 seconds to have a chat to the person next to you and tell them, what does friendship mean to you? Okay, you got 20 seconds starting now. What does friendship mean to you? What does friendship mean to you? Okay, what are some things? What are some things that you talked about? Just yell them out. What is it?
Loyal.
Yes. What is it? Integrity. Nice. What else?
No expectations.
What is it?
No expectations.
Okay, yes. Friendship. What else? Selfless. What about this side? What?
Family.
Commitment. Yes. Nice. Okay, that's good. We all have a concept, an idea of friendship, right? So friendships are important in life because they help us to share and mold our values, our interests, our views, our dreams with people that love and support us, right? And so the Mayo Clinic, which is a not-for-profit organization, a medical organization in the States, they say this. They say that friends can boost your health by reducing your stress, preventing loneliness, and encouraging healthy habits. Good. Love it. Anyone remember? Yeah, it would be like everyone. Anyone remember? Anyone remember the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond? Everybody Loves Raymond? Anyone seen that before? I know it's a bit old. It's like an American sitcom back in the, I think, late 90s, early 2000s. And it's about this guy, Raymond. This is Raymond, okay? And this is his mom. This is his wife. This is dad. And that's his big brother. And it's they're talking. It's really funny. It's a comedy. To see the dynamic of Raymond and his wife and their family, it's a cracker. And so As I was thinking about our topic today, there was a person that came to mind for me, right? And so I wanted to rename this, Everybody Loves Raymond, to this, Everybody Loves Ray. Okay, Everybody Loves Ray. Okay? And so this week, our sister Ray, she was talking with my wife earlier this week. And Ray was telling my wife about a six-week challenge that she and some of her friends, so that's like, you know, a small group of people, right? And then Ray comes over to me after their discussion and she said, you're doing a challenge with me. I said, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, your wife said you're doing it. Don't you love husbands and wives? Do you have that sort of connection where you encourage each other? You're doing that challenge, right? But, you know, so Ray, you know, she started this challenge. And so it just got bigger and bigger. It got more and more exciting. Every day there was like, wow, entering this new and exciting thing. Because like she started this group chat, and she was putting all this information on there about, ways in which to prepare us for this challenge. Because the challenge begins tomorrow, right? Tomorrow is the day that it begins, okay? Oh, actually today, sorry. Yeah, you're getting weighed in today and stuff like that. But yeah, she's put all this information on there, encouragement and accountability for us. She's given us this app that to help us track our food and what we're eating, right? And so if you see some angry people around here, then they may be on that challenge, okay? But like, it was funny, Norm shared this really funny image on the thread about these, as Ray was, kept on introducing things, you know, throughout the week. He put this picture up of these moving goalposts. Thanks, Ray, you know. And so, like, for me, it was like, you know, Ray is like giving us these tools. She's helping us on this journey, specifically in our health. And I don't know about you, but do you have a friend like that? That makes Ray a pretty good friend, seriously. She has this desire, this heart to help people out, even if it means talking through the husband or the wife to push the husband or the wife into that situation. But that's another thing. But she just wants to help people. She wants to help people. Do you have someone like a Ray in your life who's pushing you, who's helping you towards a healthy life, who's helping you towards getting to know Jesus, who's helping you towards discipleship? Do you have a Ray in your life? Do you have a person that is encouraging you in that direction? According to the study by the Mayo Clinic, having solid friendships is important for two main reasons. And they say it's important because they make life more enjoyable. They make life more enjoyable. Norm, doesn't Ray make life more enjoyable? No. She does. She makes life very interesting. You don't know what to expect from Ray each day. That's why it's exciting. Exciting. But like, we get to share the beautiful aspects of life with people who genuinely care for us. They genuinely want the best for us and they want to share these experiences together, right? Secondly, our friends help us through the difficult times. Having friends to support us during tough times, right? Making like, you know, especially when you're going through stuff like loss of family, loss of a job, change in a situation. Do you have good friends around you like that, that'll sit with you? Maybe they don't even say the right words or they don't know what to say, but they just sit with you and they'll put a hand on your shoulder and say, I'm here with you. Or they'll pray with you. Do you have friends like that? Think about the friends that you have in your own life. Are they ones that make your life enjoyable? Are they ones that help you through the tough times in your life? But I also want to flip it to like this. Are we the type of friend that makes life enjoyable for those around us? Right? Are we that type of friend that can be there for those around us that are walking through some tough times, right? Can we, or are we those types of friends? Yes, we may expect that from others, like what Addie was talking about, having these expectations, but there can be some responsibility on us as well to be that to others. Am I the type of friend that helps them through their difficult times? So this is one view of how society can portray friendship for us. But in our passage today, Jesus teaches us about friendship, right? And so we're going to see how Jesus models friendship for us. And so in the book of John, right, the purpose, one of the main purposes that John wrote this book was that we would believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that by believing in him, that we would put our trust in him. And that comes from John chapter 30, verse 31. And so this particular section of chapter 15 is during this period of, it's like the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. And so it's leading up to his death, right? And so specifically in chapters 13 to 17, this describes Jesus is giving his disciples like the final instructions. He's given them final teachings to help them, right? And so he gives them this, we see Jesus, he shows his love and his care for his disciples where he washes their feet. He washes their feet for them. And he's showing them how to serve others. He tells them about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit has been given to them as a guide, as a helper for them. He promises them that he is the way to God the Father. And that if they trust in him, they will know the Father. He also tells them, he teaches them about loving one another, just as he has loved them. So Jesus also prays for his disciples, asking God to protect and bring a unity among them. These chapters, from 13 to 17, they show how much Jesus cared for his disciples. They showed how much Jesus cared for his friends. And this was his way of preparing them for what was to come. These chapters show us the importance of friendship was to Jesus. And so the first thing I want us to see in Jesus' model of friendship is this, that love is the foundation of friendship. Everyone say, love is the foundation of friendship. So Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us. That's what we hear from John 15, 12, right? A little bit earlier on in John 13, verses 34 to 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. To love one another, just as Jesus has loved us. Jesus' example of love is sacrificial love. That's his example for us, right? This is the nature of Jesus' love that we should see and be able to apply in our own lives and build all the other relationships that we have upon our own life through this concept that Jesus showed. Through a sacrificial love. Just as Jesus Christ has loved me, I am equipped, I am empowered to love others. But I need to know this love myself. We need to have experienced that love of Christ in our own lives in order that we can share it with those around us. So let's think about how Jesus' love for people as a theme in the Bible, all right? The Bible teaches us that God is love and that Jesus perfectly, he represents love, right? And so throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus showing his love for people in many ways, right? He's healing the sick. He's feeding the hungry. He's teaching people. He's forgiving people. He's setting people free. He's teaching people about the kingdom and even raising the dead. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved people so much that he died on the cross for us. John 3:16. So Jesus' love for people can be compared to a good shepherd taking care of his sheep. You see, a good shepherd loves his sheep so much that he's willing to protect them from any danger, right? And that means even risking his own life. He watches over them. He's making sure that they are safe. He's guiding them toward good places where they can eat and drink in safety. In the same way, Jesus loves us like a good shepherd loves his sheep. He cares for us deeply. He wants the best for us. He's willing to do anything to keep us safe, to show us the right path in life. A good shepherd will never abandon his sheep. Jesus will never abandon us. It says in the Word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he'll never stop loving us. Jesus' love for us is the foundation of friendship. His great love for us. We have been loved by Jesus so that we can love others around us. We have been watched over by Jesus so that we too can model this for those around us. As Jesus is the good shepherd to us, we are to be good friends to those around us so that they may come to a place of recognizing and acknowledging that Jesus is their friend, that Jesus can be their Savior, that Jesus can be their shepherd. And it comes down to us, how we befriend them. How do we show them Jesus in our own lives? But there can be some things that can stop us from befriending people, right? So I just want to take a quick look at a couple of myths about friendships, right? Myth number one is this, friendship just happens. Friendships just happen. That's quite funny, eh? No, friendship don't just happen. Friendship requires effort. Friendship requires time. Friendship requires commitment. friendship requires some skill as well. Seriously. It's like looking after a garden, right? Anyone here looked after a garden before? No? Or your Mr. Green does it? No? Yeah? Look after your garden, right? Kopa will be able to talk to this a bit more. But if we don't put in the effort, if we don't put in the time and commitment to look after those gardens, what happens? Weeds grow, right? And they take over the garden that we're trying to create. And so it comes to a point of like, you don't know what's the nice garden that you're trying to build and what's the weeds? Because it's so entangled and everything. It's a mess. But the good news is this. We can make deeper friendships if we choose to be intentional and proactive, right? So that means, getting out there now and again, doing a bit of weeding, right? If you weed early, then you don't have to weed as much later on, right? Get in nice and early, have a rhythm. I've got to get these green weeds out. Don't let them grow up to be like trees, okay? Because that makes it harder, right? When your weeds are like bigger, when you let them just grow out of control and you're trying to pull them out later, that's a lot harder work for you. So who are the people that you can build friendships around? Who are the people that you can build friendships with? Look at your own workspace. You know, who are you hanging out with, right? If all your friends are all Christian friends, maybe get some new friends. And I'm saying that out of a loving way. Seriously, Jesus calls us to go and make disciples. If you're making disciples with people who are already disciples, you take care of your own. I'm going to find someone else to build with, right? It's not that you don't love them. It's just we're about the kingdom. We're about building what God has called us to build. And so that means going to build with people that they may not look like us. People we may not have the same, same look. Or, they may not have the same interests as us, right? And so that requires us to, step out of ourselves, right? Who can you build a friendship with? Last Sunday, me and my son, and we got two students that are staying with us. They're from Japan. And so last Sunday, we went and played basketball. Yes, I know. This old guy can still play. Okay, so we went and played basketball, and we were with Maya, Joshie, and Noah. And so we just went down to the local park. We went down to their house, and we just walked down to a basketball court down there. And we just started playing basketball. And then all these other kids started coming around. Oh, can we play? Can we play? Oh, yeah, sweet, sweet. Come. So we had this game of basketball going. And like I was like watching our kids. I was just watching them and how they were playing. I was watching, man, the way that they were learning to play with each other. These kids from the neighborhood, right? They were just having fun, passing the ball to each other, shooting it. They were interacting, engaging with each other in this game of basketball. And I was looking and I was thinking, man, our kids do friendship so easily, so naturally, right? We think that, that's not building friendship. Yes, that's the start of building friendship. You got to do stuff, do some activity, sit down intentionally, go into spaces that you may be uncomfortable with, but you go in there and you're just being involved in the activity that's happening, right? Right? Our kids do it so naturally. I think sometimes for us adults, we can forget how easy it is to begin building a friendship. We may not try to befriend people. We can all of us, I'm speaking to myself as well, we can all improve and learn to be better friends by taking that first step of actively initiating, cultivating, just start. Go and talk to someone. When was the last time you just spoke to someone? Hey, you're sitting in a park, and there's a person sitting next to you, and you're making like, I don't see you, bro. You know, but it's like, hey, how are you going? How's your day going? And that's the start. That's just the start. You don't have to like find out their whole life story right there and then and they have to give their lives to Jesus. No, just start by talking to them. Start a conversation with them. Initiate contact, right? Go therefore into the world and make friends and disciples. Right? Myth number two. I'm too busy for friendship. Oh, anyone too busy for friendship? A lot of us, we all have busy schedules. We all have busy lives, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's family commitments and stuff like that. But we've all got stuff happening. And it can be very hard to find time to build those close relationships because we feel like, oh, I've just got too much going on. But this is just the plan of the enemy to make us think that we're busy. We're too busy to build with people. We're too busy to spend time with someone because he's helping us to focus on me and my little world. Me and what I've going on in my life. But if we listen to ourselves, if you listen to that, does that sound right? Does that sound like something Jesus does? Focusing on himself? Building his little world? Jesus models this friendship of where he goes to people. The woman at the well, he went to the well. He went to the well that she goes to every single day. But he went to that well. He met her there. Several people that were disabled, they were on the streets, they were in temples waiting, and he goes to them. Who are you going to? Where are you going to? To meet with people, to build with people. Some of us may think, how can I find time for friendship? And I'm struggling to find time for sleep. Go to sleep earlier at night. That's a great start. Why are you up at 12 o'clock at night watching Netflix? No judgment. No judgment here, all right? But the truth is, we make time for what we value. We make time for what we value. We will prioritize what is important to us, right? There are pockets. There are pockets of moments throughout all of our days where we can be intentional and use the time, whether it's brief, to befriend someone. We're all given the same amount of time. But think about this. If you just spent like 5 or 10 minutes, whether it's just a quick phone call to someone, a quick text to say, hey, bro, I'm just praying for you at this moment, you know? You're initiating that engagement. A quick phone call to them. Hey, how's your day going? You know? Is that hard? If we make friendships a priority, we will find room for them in our schedules. We can include our friends in our daily routines without trying to see it that, oh, I'm having to create this new time, this new space for this person. Think about this. Do you value food? Yes. Well, there was a big yes. There was a very big yes there, everybody. Especially from the front here. It was a big yes. Yes, we value food, right? So if we value food, we value it to make time for it, right? So why don't have a meal with friends? Why don't you just, once a week, just have a meal with someone that you don't normally have a meal with? You're doing what you value, but you're doing it with someone, right? Do you think that's easy? Shout them a coffee. Shout them a meal. Or get your parents to pay for them, you know? Well, our kids, right? Oh, can't wait till they get jobs. Okay, so, but that's just a way, right? What are other ways? Maybe you go to the gym. Maybe you like going for walks somewhere. Invite someone along to come with you. Hey, you want to go for a walk? I'm just going around here, just going to have a quick walk. But at the same time, you can chat with them. You can build with them, right? Is that all right? So love is the foundation of friendship. The next one is this. Friendship has a purpose. Okay? Friendship has a purpose. And so Jesus refers to his disciples as friends, not just servants, right? John 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Everyone say friends. for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. They're friends because Jesus tells them stuff. They're friends because Jesus is sharing intimate stuff with them. He's sharing with them stuff that he's hearing from his Father. Jesus didn't keep secrets from them. Friendship has a purpose. Friendship is about sharing with a person things that you've heard or things that you're thinking about. Maybe you're trying to sort something out. Do you have a friend that you can sort of talk things through? Things that are important to you. Things that you want to share with them, right? Maybe it's some goals. Maybe it's something you want to try, right? Do you have friends like that you talk that stuff through? Jesus here is elevating the importance of relationship with his disciples from that of a servant to friends. It shows how much Jesus wants to be closer to his followers and how he trusts them all. So as friends, he tells them all about what the Father's thoughts are, the Father's plans, revealing his will to them, right? This is a massive step to go from a servant to a friend. A servant to a friend. You know, in Jesus' time, the custom of servants was not a common thing, right? To transition from a servant to a friend, it was very rare, right? If you're a servant, then you're a servant for life, right? And so there was this clear sort of social gap, the social distinction in Jesus' time with servants and friends. But Jesus was different. Jesus' kingdom is different. Jesus treated his disciples as friends, and he built this special bond with them. He showed them love and respect. He shared important things with them. He taught them. He prepared them for life. He prepared them for life's challenges, right? Jesus' way of treating his followers was unique, and it showed how much he cared for them. They were his friends. In Proverbs 27:6, it says, "Wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from an enemy." Wow. True friends are special people who will speak to us, who will tell us about things that we may be not seeing right there in front of us. But they'll tell us honestly what is happening, right? And it may hurt, but if it's out of a place of love, out of a place of wanting to see you flourish, wanting to see you thrive, wanting to see you live a better life, then they're going to speak that out of that place of love. Amen? Proverbs 18:24, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother." We need friends that are, like what Jay said, loyal. Friends that are loyal and steadfast. And we ourselves should be encouraged to be these types of friends to people as well. To be loyal. To be steadfast. So we've seen that love is a foundation of friendship. That Jesus' love for us was shown through his sacrifice on that cross. That's the sacrificial love of Jesus that we get to walk in, right? So if this becomes the foundation from which all our other relationships get built upon, because if we have experienced God's great love in our own lives, in our own hearts, then we know what Jesus did for us. We know what he is calling us to do. We know that he has equipped us. We know where he has placed us. And this is all by the grace of our loving Father. Last story. A couple of years ago, this is a photo from our Silverbacks crew. We went snorkeling a few years ago. Yeah, so we did that at Tangalooma on Moreton Island. Really beautiful place. It was awesome. You know, for some people, it was like their first time. For other people, it was their fun time, you know. And so when you're snorkeling, right, you're swimming on the surface, right? You're swimming on the surface of the water, and you're looking down at the ocean below you. And that's really cool, right? You get to see some really cool things from that surface level. You know, many of us have acquaintances that we can call friends, but they're not the same as friends, right? Because our acquaintances are like, it's like us snorkeling, right? It's just on the surface. We're just looking down. We call them friends, but nah, we're just on the surface stuff. We're talking about, oh, how's your day? Oh, yeah, I've been good. You give them little snippets of what's going on in your life. You don't go deep diving into conversations with them because you're just snorkeling with them, right? You're just, oh, yeah, I love to see you. I can see you, yeah. Oh, you're going through that? Oh, cool. But true friendship involves a deep connection and a willingness to be vulnerable with one another. And that's deep diving. Deep diving. Deep sea diving. Deep sea diving needs different equipment, different skills, different level of commitment. But it's the same purpose. Snorkeling is fine. It's okay for a time. I hope that we all want to go deep sea diving with our friendships. Get right in there, in the cracks of life with them. The things that they're walking through in their life. Because from the snorkeling level, we don't share the climate of our souls. We don't share what's really happening on us. Because if you're snorkeling, you see it from a distance, but you're not going to deep dive into it unless you intentionally do it. We don't share our struggles with sin. We don't share our struggles maybe that we're going through in life. Maybe you're having a situation with one of your kids. Or maybe in your marriage, you're just going through a tough period. No one knows what your soul is really like. Because you haven't got those types of relationships with people to be able to talk through those things. I want to challenge us all to think about cultivating Christ-like friendships that's characterized by sacrificial love, honesty, support. Good friendships will encourage us to seek encounters and intimate communion with God, right? Good friendships will remind each of us of the path that we're on together, right? Think about it. If you have a friend with you and you're walking in the same direction, if you see your friend falling behind, you're more likely to, hey, let's go. Pick up the pace. Let's go. But if you're on different paths, if you don't have those sort of close friends around you and you're just doing your own thing, who's going to pick you up? Who's going to encourage you along? Who's going to say, let's go. We're going the wrong way. Let's go this way. Let's do this. Let's position ourselves this way. Let's posture ourselves this way. Who are you walking in life with? What sorts of friendships do we have around us? Are they with people? Have you only got friendships with people who look like you? Right? Who just look like yourself? Or do you have friendships with people who are different from you? Who do different things? Who maybe have different interests? Do you have those sorts of friendships? Because when we look at Jesus' way of living his life, he went to prostitutes, he went to drunkards, he went to sinners, tax collectors, people that society looked down on. And looked, oh, those people, they're not good. It doesn't matter if they're good, they're still God's people. So who are we building friendships with? They're around. People are around us. Sometimes we just don't see them. We don't want to see them. Our church, think of this. Our church is called Every Nation. Every Nation. Do you think looking around the room, every nation is in here? Do you know that in our Council of Logan, we have over 200 ethnic representatives in the Logan Council. Over 200 nations live in Logan. If I was to take a guess at how many nationalities are in this room, I'll think maybe 15 to 20. Who are you building with? Who are you building with? I want to encourage us to see the people from every nation that God has placed around us. And not just the people that look like us. That's easy. If I reach out to, you know, island people. But if I was to go to someone who's a different nationality to me, that can be a challenge. But that's when we start to learn about other people and other nations, just as God has made them to be, right? Because we can get so caught up in our little world, in our little box. But when we step out of that and have lunch with someone who's different from me, maybe even a different generation from you, that is a great opportunity to learn and see God's goodness in their life as well. Amen? So can I encourage us all to embrace Jesus' teaching of friendship, to love one another as He has loved us, to strive to be genuine and faithful friends to one another, reflecting the love of Christ in all our relationships. Encourage us. Go deep sea diving with someone. It's enough snorkeling, all right? It's boring anyway, all right? Okay, let us pray. Father, thank you for the example of friendship that we see in the life of Jesus and His disciples. Father, help us this morning to love one another just as your Son Jesus has loved us. Help us to recognize and remember that friendship is built on the foundation of love, that great love that was shown to us through your Son Jesus by giving up His life so that we could have eternal life with you, that sacrificial love. Father, help us to see the nations of people around us that you are calling us to make friends with. Give us the grace, give us the courage and the boldness and the opportunities to be able to build with them and love them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.